You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Weather conditions are supposed to get no bueno a little bit later on this afternoon. So whatever you're doing, get it all in as quickly as you can. Apparently around 4 o'clock, it's supposed to start raining and it's supposed to go into Sunday. So we'll see what happens, especially in this Yankees series. I'm with you for the next 4 hours. That's right. With you until 4 o'clock. And then Scott Seidenberg comes your way following me. We've got a great show lined up for you. Ty's back in action. Big Papa, congratulations.
Oh,
what's it? What's
back.
It like being a daddy?
Oh, it's great.
Big daddy.
It's great. People say, you know, it's the best thing ever. It's nothing like it. The best day of
right?
your life. All of that is true and more. I could not be more happy with life right now. I love that little kid. He turns a month old tomorrow already. It's crazy. Time flies.
And the pictures you sent me, he looks like you just spit him out. He looks like
really?
You. You yeah. don't think so? Are people telling you that he looks like your wife?
They're saying it's a mix. It's like 50-50. Hmm. And of course, she doesn't like it. She wants him to look just like her, which is fine. But I think he's starting to look more like me as he gets older.
Interesting.
I do think that's happening.
Well, she is quite beautiful.
Thank you. She would appreciate you saying that.
So let's hope that does happen. So congratulations. This is my first show back with you since you've become a papa. So I'm excited to spend the next few hours with you, Ty.
Sounds good.
We have David Lennon, who's going to join us from Newsday, who covers the Yankees. Really excited to get him on. Obviously, this first hour, we're going to have a lot of Yankees talk. So get those fingers working. 800-919-3776. We'll talk some NBA. You've got a big game 5 tonight. I can't wait for it. You know, the series now is tied. I was on last night and I was talking about the roller coaster ride, how when the series started, I was leaning more coming in because of the hyperextended knee that we saw Giannis have. I was really high on the Suns. And then of course the Suns come out, the first two games at home, they look magnificent. Just, you know, just the way their ball movement, their chemistry, everything. Ayton, Chris Paul, Booker, everybody. Even I have fallen in love with, by the way, Ty, I have fallen in love with Cam Johnson. I love Cam Johnson. And I probably love him because he's winning me so much money.
He's going to hit shots tonight. His team needs him.
Every single series, I'm betting the over in points and rebounds combined, which hovers around like 10.5, 11.5, and over in three-pointers, which is stuck at 1.5, and the kid averages 2 3-pointers a game. So, I don't know about you, Ty, but I've been on this roller coaster ride where, you know, the series started, was on the Suns. They go up 2-0. Now I'm feeling the Suns. I'm even thinking, wow, can they sweep? And then it goes to Milwaukee. And then I think I'm calling it the secret sauce. I think Milwaukee has found the secret sauce, how to contend and contest against the Suns. Now I'm on the Milwaukee side. So we'll dive into some NBA talk coming your way at the top of the 1 o'clock hour. Also, I had Tyler Fulgham, my partner in crime on Daily Wager, on with us last night. I'm going to replay that segment for you. We're always here to help you try to win some money heading into game five later on tonight. Good friend of mine, Cynthia Freeland, is going to join us as well in our second hour. We'll dive into some NFL. As Ty and I were talking about before we started the show, we're just, what, 8-9 days away from players reporting? That's just ridiculous. Somebody pinch me. Football's going to be here before we know it. I can't wait. And we'll have a click or don't click. Also, Joe Wiz, who hosts his own gambling shows here on 98.7 ESPN on Friday night and Saturday morning, is going to join us around 3:30. He's got a lot. He's got a few Major League Baseball plays. He's got some plays in the NBA. And don't forget, you've got the Diana taking place in Saratoga today. So, and he's got a play in that race as well. So a lot coming your way, 800-919-3776. But let's start with what's going on with the Red Sox. And what do we know? Well, we know they lost last night. 4-0 to the Boston, the Yankees. Let's start with the Yankees. Yankees, what do we know? They lost to the Boston Red Sox last night, 4-0. So Red Sox, 7-0 in this season series. So now they're 9 back. I'm not sure if you can confirm this, Ty. What, 5 or 6 back in regard to the wild card?
And yeah, so they're 9 back in the division. If you look at
right,
the wild card standings.
To the Red Sox.
Yeah, if you look at the wild card standings, they're 5.5 games back of the second wild card, 7.5 back of the first wild card. That's Oakland and
yeah,
Tampa Bay,
go.
Respectively.
There you go. There you go. Okay, so not a great situation. Okay, not a great situation. But here's the thing. Now you've got two of their best players, especially in the lineup, with Urshela and of course Judge, who are out the next 10 days. because of the COVID situation that they're experiencing. Now, keep in mind, there's going to be 7 matchups. There's going to be 3 against Boston, 2 against the Phillies, and 1 against Tampa in those 10 days. So, you know, I guess, you know, I would love to be a fly on the wall in regard to, you know, I want to be in the room where it happens, where the discussion happens between Hal Steinbrenner and Brian Cashman in regard to what this team is, what's the magic number here? You know, the next 10 days, you know, with those 7 games, of course, now we know, you know, they just lost 1. So, you know, is it 4-3? Is it 3-4? What's the magic number? Not to mention, and let me call up the schedule just so we can really, really break it down. So the Yankees are not going to have Boston and Urshela for the game tonight. Okay. Thank God Cole's pitching, but that's a whole nother story within itself that I want to dive into. Then, of course, they play Boston again on Sunday night. That's the special ESPN Sunday night game. So, and then you've got the Phillies twice on July 20th and 21st. And then you've got, and then they're at Boston July 22nd, 23rd, 24th, and 25th. But I'm trying to count the days here. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah, I mean, so like pretty much you're not going to have Judge or Urshela for the next 4, 5, 6 games against Boston. So again, I'm just, what's the magic number here in regard to this team being buyers or sellers as we get close to the trade deadline? Because that's really what it's about. Let's be honest, right? Like even before this whole COVID-19 thing happened where Judge, and of course we know 5 other Yankee players are out. And then not to mention Luke Voit is on IL because of a knee issue. Dude's always hurt regardless. Don't know when Severino and Kluber are going to be coming back, right? Like we have an idea, a timeline, but are we really sure? There's some question marks there. I'm just laying it out. I'm waving the white flag, but here's the thing. I'm not a Yankees fan, right? And not that I'm not a fan. I'm just saying like, I'm not a Yankees fan where live and die. This is my team. This is my organization. You know, when was the last time the Yankees were sellers as we got closer to the trade deadline? And what does that mean for this organization? And how hard is that? You know, it's really hard for an organization that has such a rich history of success to not put their best foot forward in the end of July to go out and improve the team and make a great run at trying to get to the postseason, let alone winning the World Series. I mean, let's be honest. Yankee fans, Yankee organization has been somewhat spoiled. And I say that with all due respect. Like, great, great for you. Great for Yankee fans. That this has been the rich history of what you've experienced. It's 10 times better than what Mets fans have been experiencing. Let's be honest. But I think it's a really hard pill to swallow for Yankee fans, as we get closer to the trade deadline, to be like, okay, you know what? Let's wave the white flag. We need to start looking forward to 2022. We need to rethink this lineup. I think the lineup is really the big issue here. You're hoping Severino and Kluber come back next year, obviously healthy. Garrett Cole, and again, I want to talk about Cole and his last outing against the Astros compared to how we've been seeing him pitch since Major League Baseball has been trying to really eliminate the sticky stuff, whatever anyone uses. So, you know, my personal opinion, and it's easier, what I'm saying here is it's easier for me to sit here and host Sports Talk Radio and say to you, I'm waving the white flag. I'm looking forward to 2022. Cashman, Hal, they need to start focusing on the future. This season is a wash. This season is a bust. Lineup wasn't what it was supposed to be. Unathletic team. Leads Major League Baseball, I think, or second in Major League Baseball into hitting into double plays. Pitching rotation hasn't been great. Sticky stuff has really thrown a curveball into this rotation. Yeah, no pun intended. Pulbin hasn't responded, hasn't been performing the way that they were expected. I mean, there's a laundry list of things that are wrong with this team. And now you add the COVID element and you take out two of the best hitters, Judge batting 282, 21 home runs, Urshela 275, 11 home runs. Now you take these two dudes out of the equation and with so much emphasis and so much riding on the next 2 weeks of how this team is going to perform. I know Buster Olney was on with Michael Kay this week, and there's talk out there and in the rumor mill that the Yankees are going to be buyers. The Yankees are going to be aggressive. They're not going to wave the white flag. But why? Do you really? So I want to open up the phone lines. And I know, Ty, I know you're a huge Yankees fan. So I'd love to get your input here as well. 800-919-3776. Have you seen enough? Have you seen enough? And this is like insult to injury. This is like putting salt on a wound. Let's be honest. Because now, you're taking away two of your best players that aren't going to be active and attractive and be able to contribute at a period of time in the season that I think is the most crucial. The most crucial. That's really the biggest question mark is the urgency there. And, you know, how difficult is it to get that clubhouse geeked up, excited to take on a best Boston Red Sox team that has really kind of owned you since the start of the season without your two of your best guys in the lineup? 800-919-3776. Let's go to Anthony in a truck. He's driving around in a truck on this Saturday afternoon. Anthony, welcome in. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Anita. I'm driving around in my mail truck today.
Nice.
It's fun out here in 95-degree weather, but I'm doing the people's work. But I want to get to the Yankees. I just can't see how they can be anywhere close to where they want to be, if that makes sense. They're not hitting. They're not pitching. They have one pitcher. Like I said to you last week, they don't go out and get a pitcher. You know, I feel like this all stems from getting Stanton's contract and getting Stanton over here. What has Stanton done for us to make it? To make the money that he's making for the New York Yankees, it's absolutely absurd. This team, you know, it just doesn't look like they want to even play baseball out there. I mean, I understand, you know, they want to play there. They wouldn't be out there if they didn't want to play. But you got Rougned Odor batting third against this Red Sox team that has I can't even explain how they've, you know, been just killing us this year. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing to turn on the TV. You know, I turned on the TV yesterday. It was 1-0. I said, okay, we can get that run back. Second and third, no outs. And next thing you know, they hit a 2-run home run. And I'm deflated. It's over. Thanks for taking the call, Anita. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, appreciate you listening while you're out there working. And we do appreciate you. There's nothing better. Let me just say this. In this day and age of social media and emails and text messaging, to me, there's nothing better than a handwritten card or a handwritten note. I know it's old school. Call me old school. I don't care. I still write them. I still send them. I think they're special. So I do appreciate your work. 800-919-3776. Listen, he's not wrong. He's not wrong. You know, Stanton, he's handcuffed this team. He's handcuffed this lineup. He can't play the outfield. And the contract is just ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. Let's go to Joe in Jersey. Joe, welcome in.
Hi, Anita. Thanks for taking my call. I'm just very frustrated that no one's truly stepping up. There's no passion. There's no desire. We need to get rid of the analytics. I'm a big Brian Cashman fan. He did some great sign-ins, but we're failing in the draft. We're failing in starting pitching. You know what I mean? The starting pitchers can't go five innings, so then we have the bullpen that collapses, and there's no heart. You know, we need like a Paul O'Neill to step up. We need someone to step up, and it just can't be Aaron Judge. And I would blow up the entire team. And Giancarlo Stanton is the biggest reason why I'm concerned that the Yankees won't sign Judge long term because of his age and because of the years. It's scary.
Here's the thing, Joe, and appreciate your call. Thank you. I think, and again, easier said than done. As somebody who sits here and hosts Sports Talk Radio, I know this is a hard pill to swallow for Yankee fans, but I'm waving the white towel. I think, you know, especially with the situation, I don't have hefty expectations. right now for this series against Boston. And then they're going to have to play two games against the Phillies. And then they have to go to Boston to take on the Red Sox four times. And then you go to Tampa. So maybe I'm putting the cart before the horse here, but this is what I think. I think the Yankees, and I think Brian Cashman needs to kind of send the message out there that they're going to listen to offers. And maybe they have already. I know that's not what's being reported, but I think it would be really wise. And then you've got to ask yourself, okay, who would be available? See, I disagree with you in that I think that they need to blow up this team. I don't think they need to blow up this team. What do they need? Yankees need a fresh start. They need to bring in a contact hitter. They also need a left-handed power hitter in this lineup. And so what do? They need to clear some space for that. So you look at this roster, who should be available? Stanton, to me, immediately stands out as somebody who should be available that the Yankees would be open to hearing offers for, but I'm sure that the Yankees would have to eat a good percentage of that salary just because it's so ridiculous. And here's another thing. I'm going to throw out the name Luke Voit. I know that he's on the IL right now. I know that he's hurt. But Luke Voit could be somebody that a team and an organization looks at and says, listen, this is a power hitter that we need, that maybe, just maybe, we could bring him in and he could stay healthy for just a few weeks, a few months, and help us try to win that World Series, try to help us get to the postseason. So those are two of the Yankee players that stand out to me that I think the Yankees should and could listen to offers for. And here's just to clear space. Like, you know, maybe they get some pitching prospects for those two guys, right? But just to clear space, get Stanton out of this lineup, eliminate yourself from being handcuffed because he can't play the outfield. It opens things up for DJ. So that, and again, I get paid the small bucks. Cashman gets paid the big bucks. But this is my two cents. 800-919-3776. I know that we're going to have David Lennon, who's going to be joining us momentarily. But Ty, I would like to bring you in because you are a Yankees fan as well. And I'd love to get your thoughts on this. First and foremost, are you with me? Are you waving the white towel now? Or do you still have hope that maybe there'll be some magic that will be created with some of these guys that came up from the minors that might be able to produce something and create some energy and some urgency in the next few days? Where do you stand?
If the name of the team was the Pittsburgh Pirates and not the New York Yankees, we would wonder why we would have any confidence. And despite them being just two games over 500, a negative run differential minus three, they've shown us nothing all season long that would suggest they could make a run. Their offense is bad. They can't hit with runners in scoring position. You gave the stat about hitting into double plays with frequency. Defensively, they're slow. They don't run the bases well. And now they're injured and they got the COVID issues. If this were the name of another team, we'd say they're done. So I'm with you. The Yankees are done. But they were done prior to last night. Once they lost that game to Houston right before the All-Star break, where they're up 7-2 headed into the ninth inning, three outs away from on the road beating the fifth best team in baseball record-wise, three outs away and they blow it. I knew it was over. That showed me right there. There's no chance this team is going to be able to muster up any momentum over the long haul because they're just flawed. They don't do enough things well. And even when they have a great game like that, where you were coming off cold, that dominant performance, you go up five runs headed into the ninth inning, and your closer just blows it. And Chapman wasn't even in the game. It was Chad Green who blew it, and the rest of the bullpen. So, no, I'm with you. They're done.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN. This is Click.
Click, click, click.
Or don't. Very simply, here's the headline. Are you interested in clicking or not?
All right, time for Click or Don't Click. Ty Butler, producing the show, always does a great job kind of taking a tour around the headlines what is trending right now at 2:07 p.m. on this Saturday. Ty, take it away.
All right, trending. We are about 6 hours shy of the pregame show beginning right here on 98.7 ESPN. Big game five between the Bucks and the Suns. Anita, who do you give the edge to tonight? Because you could argue, you could make an argument for both teams. So who are you giving it to?
Yeah, you know, so here's the thing. Somewhat of a roller coaster ride for me in this series, right? Because of the knee buckle that we saw with Giannis and the hyperextension. It just, look, that looked horrific. The way that he's been playing, Ty, I have to be honest. I'm sure you agree with me. Like, I'm flabbergasted how well he's been playing after, you know, seen how horrific that injury was. So going into this series, I was all over the Suns. Threw a lot of money on the Suns. Suns were going to win this in six. Then Suns come out, first two games at home. Boy, did they look good. What, like 10, 12 passes they make before they shoot. Shooting percentage was over 50%. They were nailing everything from downtown. Ayton was a beast in the paint. Boy, this team was on a roll. Now I'm contemplating, should I put money down on a sweep? Like, okay, maybe the Bucks lucky to win one game. You know what? They'll probably win the first game at home. But boy, the last two games, I'm calling it the secret sauce, Ty. I really do believe that the Bucks have been able to zig when you thought they were going to zag. And I think they really have an answer for the Suns. And Drew Holiday's been playing amazing defense. He was all over Booker in game three. Booker couldn't do anything. Then he switched. He was all over Chris Paul in game four, only 10 points. And so the defense that Holiday is bringing. And here's another thing, Ty. I don't think enough is being discussed on this topic, and that's Sarek. And Sarek has gone out with the ACL. Kaminsky, Craig, they can't fit the bill. Ayton cannot afford to be on the court. The Bucks are plus 21 when Ayton is off the court and Giannis is on. So I think, you know, and the Bucks now are getting the Suns in foul trouble. Ayton was in foul trouble in game three.
Booker
was in foul in game four.
Booker
especially
had seven fouls in game four. It's the first time in NBA history a guy's ever had that. 40 points and seven fouls. That's some stat line right there. But to your point, Giannis has been fantastic in this series. 32-14-5. He is on the cusp of adding a finals MVP to what already is an impressive resume. He's got two regular season MVPs. He's got a defensive player of the year, a championship, and a finals MVP at 26. I mean, that's some legendary stuff right there. But what I will say is I think we can sometimes overrate momentum in these playoff series. Up 2-0, you said it, you know, Suns in four, Suns in five. Now we're 2-2. Do the Bucks lose another game this series? I think Phoenix goes home. You look at what happened in game four. 17 turnovers as a team. Chris Paul played arguably the worst game of his career, considering the circumstances. Booker was in foul trouble. Ayton had 6 points. The Suns shot 30% from three. That's 7 percentage points less than what they've been doing in the postseason. And despite all of that, you get a game where they're up by five with 5.5 minutes left to go. They had a chance to win that game. It took Giannis an all-time defensive play. It took Middleton having a game of his life. And that's what happened in order for the Bucks to tie this series up at two games apiece. So if I'm Phoenix, I feel good returning home. My role players will be better. I think they hit a lot of threes tonight. Chris Paul is going to give you 18 and 10. I think Booker and Ayton will do well. And then Bridges and Cam Johnson, they've got to have some type of an impact on the offensive end as well. And I think we're 3-2 going to Tuesday where we get game six in Milwaukee. They'll win that game, and then we'll come back for game seven next Thursday for a game in Phoenix. And I think it's going to come down to one of those types of things happening. Like big play by Giannis, big play by CP3. We're going to have like one of those legendary game sevens. That's what I'm predicting to happen.
Do you have a rooting interest here? Is there a team that you are rooting for?
No, and it's odd because and I thought about this the other day. It's the first time in God knows how long that there was an NBA Finals where I didn't have a rooting interest, like heavily invested in either this team winning or this team losing. because I like Giannis, I like the Bucks, I like the Suns as well. I think it actually would be better for the NBA if Milwaukee won the championship, because then there's some intrigue going into next season where we're not just going to coronate the Nets all year. We'll say, you know, maybe Milwaukee, even though the Nets weren't healthy, maybe Milwaukee can beat them again. So I think that would be the best case scenario for the league. Well, speaking of Chris Paul, though, here was him reflecting on the 17 turnovers that the Suns had in that game four.
It was me. I had five of them. You know what I mean? It was bad decision making. Timely, we down two, and I tried to cross over right there, slip, turn it over. Had some bad passes in the first half. You know what I mean? They got, you know, a significant amount more shots than us. And so, you know, for me, I got to take care of the ball. We got 17 turnovers. We shoot the ball too well not to have those opportunities to score.
Chris Paul can't lose this series up 2-0, given his postseason shortcomings, the injuries, and some bad playoff performances. He can't lose this series. This will affect his legacy. It's not going to kill him. He's still one of the greatest point guards ever. But you can't have this stain on your legacy, Chris Paul, especially with how bad he's been playing.
Yeah, I mean, five turnovers in game four. I had a caller call in the other night and ask me, this is an interesting question, kind of like, you know, is it better to have loved and to have lost than to have never loved at all? Is it better to have made it to the playoffs and lose than to never go to the playoffs at all? I know we're sitting here talking about his legacy, and granted, you look at the statistics and how poorly he's playing. You know, also, there's some talk and speculation that he's hurt, he's injured, maybe he's running out of gas. It has been a long season. In a season that started quite quickly, right after the Orlando bubble, so you know, very very interesting. I'm not ready to say that it's going to affect his legacy, but I know that's definitely a topic of conversation.
Well, think about where we were just a week ago. It was you know, all hail Chris Paul finally getting that much deserved ring. You've got LeBron on Twitter counting down the wins for Chris Paul to get his first title. And now it becomes, you know, who does he pass? Like, we know the best point guards of all time. You know, Magic Johnson, Steph Curry, Isaiah Thomas, you know, Stockton, Oscar Robertson. Like, who does he pass with the championship? So we start to have that legitimate discussion. And now he's two wins away from losing in the finals, blowing a 2-0 lead. And he's been a disaster the last three games, 15 turnovers. So, yes, it does affect his legacy. Again, he's still an all-time great player, but you can't lose this series. It's not going to be a great look for him. Meanwhile, you love numbers when it comes to, like, betting games. When Chris Middleton scores 18 or more points for the Bucks in the playoffs, they are 12-2. He's the X factor.
I agree with you. But I love Drew Holiday. I really do.
He's been so bad on offense.
I know. 4 of 20. I know. 4 of 20 in game four. But defensively, you can't deny. Look at the stats. Mm-hmm. Look at what happened with Devin Booker in game three and Chris Paul in game four. And that's what they did. You know what I mean? They put Holiday on Booker in game three. Then they switched him. And I know he kind of went back and forth, but the majority of the time. And he had both these guys. He's got their numbers.
And maybe that's so, why on offense he's been so bad, because he's
focusing
down defensively. You're guarding one of the greatest point guards of all time, and then one of the best scorers in the NBA, in Devin Booker. So he's worn down. But it's just so funny, right? I saw this meme yesterday, and I know you've been watching the NBA playoffs a lot, especially this Bucks team. Middleton only has two moods. He's either prime MJ, where the other night he gave you, 40 and 6, or he's Kuzma, and he's bad. He's 4 for 23. So we'll know early tonight who's going to win this game, because it's going to depend on – I think the biggest X factor is Middleton. If he's great, the Bucks are going to win. If he's not, they're going to lose. It's just that simple. Giannis is going to be fantastic. You can pencil him in for, you know, 25, 10, and 5. I think Booker is going to be good. CP3 will be better. But Middleton is going to be that X factor tonight. Are we going to get good Middleton, prime MJ Middleton, or are we going to get Kyle Kuzma? I think that's what it's going to come down to.
It's going to be a good one. We know that it's going to be a good one, right?
One more for you. The Knicks wish list takes a hit. Here was Damian Lillard yesterday when addressing the reports about him potentially demanding a trade out of Portland.
I woke up to those reports, you know, a lot of people reaching out to me, but it's not true. You know, I'll start off the rip and say it's not true. I said the last time I spoke to you guys that a lot of things are being said and, you know, it hasn't come from me. So number one is it's not true. And secondly, I'll also say that I haven't made any firm decision on, you know, what my future will be. So there's really no need for anybody else to speak for me or report this or report that. You know, if it's something to be said, as I said the last time, I'll speak directly with my team and with Neil. So, you know, that's that.
He's played 9 NBA seasons. He's gone to the conference finals just once. In that appearance, they were swept. So he's never won a conference final game. He's too good. He's a superstar. He's not demanding a trade right now, but if he does become available, obviously you enter the New York Knicks into the conversation because that's what happens anytime any star becomes available. And now that they've improved their situation, you would look for them to be a prime destination. But, you know, if you're a Knicks fan, you got to hope that this situation goes in that direction. They continue to, you know, fail in the playoffs because Dame's watching all his other colleagues, the stars, Durant, Steph, Harden, Kyrie, you know, LeBron compete for championships, and he's getting bounced in the first round every year. And he's going to try to find a better situation.
You know, another thing is, you know, you've got to consider, okay, you know, what's his prime, right? And he's got to be concerned with grandfather time as well. And I guess I know there's some talk and speculation. I know that you hosted last night, and I'm sure you hit on this. I guess my question to you is, what do you think the likeliness is that Dame comes here? Would he come here in the offseason? Would it be a trade in midseason? And what do you think that would cost the Knicks to get him?
So if you're the Knicks, you obviously would have to do anything in your power to give him up. I don't think anyone on this roster is considered an untradeable asset. And that includes R.J. Barrett, who you love. He was 17 points last year. He showed a lot of improvement. Julius Randle, most improved player. He was your MVP. But those guys aren't going to be the reason why I don't get Dame Lillard. Now, if you're Dame, though, why would you leave? If the priority is to win a championship, why would you go to the Knicks? Unless you're bringing someone else here. Like, why would you leave C.J. McCollum, one of the 30 best players in the league, to come play with Randle? And it's no disrespect to Randle. I just don't think that that's getting you any closer to winning a championship. Now, if he's bringing someone else alongside him, then that's a different conversation. But I don't see how your path becomes easier to a title by going from Portland to New York, unless it involves you bringing another star with you.
And could that star be Kawhi?
Well, see, that's the thing. And it got lost last week in the shuffle. Kawhi just had some surgery to repair a partially torn ACL. So it looked like he was going to opt out. How does he opt out of that contract now, coming off a major surgery? I know Durant did the same thing with the torn Achilles, but Kawhi's got a history of injuries. Right. I believe the stat is in his career, he's only played 70 or more games twice. Like, this guy is always banged up. There's a reason why he's load managing all the time. I just don't know why he would opt out. But, yeah, that would be ideal if you can land both of those guys. I just don't I don't see it happening. But it would be fun for us to talk about and watch unfold here in New York.
Absolutely. Anything else before we close out Click or Don't Click?
That's it. Well, Mets lost 4-1 last night to the Pirates, three hits. So the Yankees lose, the Mets lose, and then we got to look forward to them trying to get some wins today.
Yeah, so a lot going on. Obviously, you've got later on tonight, you've got Game 2. For the Yankees against Boston. Gerrit Cole on the bump, so that should give you some hope. And then you've got Game 5 of the NBA Championships taking place tonight. You've got this major taking place across the pond, the Open, and it looks like the way the leaderboard is shaping up, that it looks like it's going to be pretty exciting heading into tomorrow morning. So still a lot going on. Anita Marks with you. We get back, we'll open up the phone lines. I know Ty and I had a pretty in-depth discussion in regard to our feelings, our take on what's going on in this NBA Game 5. How do you feel? Who do you think's going to win? Have you been on this roller coaster ride like I have, where one side I'm on the Suns, next I'm on the Bucks? I think now the Bucks are going to win the series, and I think it goes the distance.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Filled in last night and came across a really interesting conversation, and phone lines kind of blew up and everybody kind of coming at me, and I get it. And that is, so Tom Brady, and I don't know, and Ty, you could tell me, I don't know if it was the shop or was it another, was it a podcast he was talking, and I guess he revealed that he played the entire season last year with a torn MCL. But here's the thing, did not report it to the NFL. So now the Bucs could be in trouble. In trouble how? I mean, I'm sure they will get some kind of huge fine. But, you know, will they get draft picks taken away? That's a possibility. You never know. Also, just, I don't know if it was like 2 years ago, if you recall, Brady's wife, Giselle, was doing an interview and had revealed that Tom had played a few games in the season with a concussion. But the Patriots didn't report the concussion. So if I remember, I don't know if the Patriots got fined or what the case, but obviously there's a trend here in regard to not reporting injuries. And I'm not saying that Brady and the Patriots and the Bucks are the only teams that do it. I do believe that there are a number of teams who do it. And let me preface by saying I understand the competitive advantage that an organization gets when you don't reveal injuries, right? Like you don't want, like if you cover an NFL team, I'll tell you, you know, again, I worked for the Giants for almost 7 years. And when Tom Coughlin was asked about injuries, I just, you know, I thought he was going to reach out and like punch a dude at press conferences because he was just so frustrated. And so he'd get furious sometimes, like, ask me something else other than injuries. Well, injuries are important. Why? Because of this day and age of where we are in sport in regard to gambling. Now you've got over 20 states that are gambling. This is the direction. This is where we are headed in our wide, wide world of sport. Gambling now has surpassed fantasy football in regard to, you know, how active fan bases are. More people are gambling than playing fantasy. Majority of people who gamble also play fantasy football, but content and whatnot, this is where it's headed. And the fact that teams are not honest about injuries is a really big problem. And I understand if you're, I had a number of people who were fans last night calling into the show saying, Anita, you don't understand. I'm a fan. Like, I don't want my team. I want the competitive edge. I want the competitive advantage. I don't want my team sharing injuries. They shouldn't have to. Well, I get it because you're a fan, but if you're not necessarily a fan and you've got your hard-earned money gambling on a team and the organization isn't being honest and straightforward with the NFL in regard to their, like, let's take the Super Bowl, for example. You know, I put money on the Kansas City Chiefs. I wouldn't have put a dime on the Chiefs if I knew, and let me explain something really quick. We didn't know about Patrick Mahomes' toe being busted, and what I mean by busted, needing surgery. We knew that he injured his toe 2 weeks prior, but in that two-week time frame, nobody was reporting that he needed surgery. Nobody reported that he was having issues practicing, right? And we found out, 5 hours before game time on Super Bowl Sunday that his busted toe needed surgery? Are you kidding me? And so what happens is, and for those that are advanced gamblers, typically what you want to do is you want to put your money down on a spread when the spread hits. Because the more money flow of the public that comes into a spread or a line, that line's going to change. And if you're on one side or the other, it might not be an advantage to you. So that's why a lot of experienced advanced gamblers start wagering like on a Super Bowl, like not a Super Bowl, but let's say an NFL Sunday. You've got like sharks, sharp money. They're putting money down on Tuesday for that Sunday game. The average Joe Schmo gambler probably wakes up on a Sunday morning and says, you know what? I think Cleveland, you know, just gets after Ben Roethlisberger. I'm going to put money down Cleveland -3.5. That's your average Joe Schmo gambler. But the serious advanced gamblers, they're putting money down on Tuesday. So a lot of people put money down on the Kansas City Chiefs like a week before the Super Bowl. But we didn't find out about the toe issue, the toe surgery, until the day of the game. That's blasphemy. That's horrible, right? But, like, was that a competitive advantage for the Kansas City Chiefs? I'm sure. So it's really created a very it's interesting where this is headed, and I'm going to keep a close eye. I think a number of us in the industry are going to keep a close eye on what type of reprimand. I don't know what type of, you know, how are they going to be penalized for the Tampa? Are they going to make an example of the Tampa Bay Bucs? Because I'll tell you what, and this is pretty interesting. Within the next 3 to 5 years, you're going to be able to gamble on how hard a player tackles another player. There's going to be GPS analytic devices that are going to be attached to professional football players' shoulder pads. And that information is going to be accessed immediately. And you're going to be able to gamble on how hard, or if you recall that one game where Danny Jones, he was running for the end zone, right? They clocked him at 22 miles an hour. 22. How do you think they clocked him? Because he's wearing a device already. And so you're going to be able to gamble on how fast a player runs in a game, how hard a player hits in a game. This is where our industry is headed. And I just share that with you just to say, teams better start getting honest in regard to the injuries, because now you're playing around with people's money. But the opposite side of the fan says, well, wait a minute, Anita. Without further ado, that music only means one thing. It means Cynthia Freeland joins us here on 98.7 ESPN. Cynthia, hi.
Anita, long time no talk, my friend.
I know it has been a hot second. Hey, before we start talking NFL, I've got to give you mad crazy props, lady. Came across your golf gambling article on Golf Digest.
Let's go.
I mean, girl, you've got to give me this inside scoop. You've got to give me this inside information. So if anybody follows golf, you read Golf Digest, you know Cynthia Freeland, one of the most intelligent people I know. For all I know, you're a part of Mensa. But so she uses her algorithm. She's starting to dive into the golf world. And sure enough, she's got a great article. She was handicapping the Open. And sure enough, the two guys that are at the top of the leaderboard right now, Louis O and Jordan Spieth, all right, as well as, I'm sorry, the top three guys and Colin Morikawa, she had in her article saying she thought that these would be the three golfers that were going to make a good run. And sure enough, they are 1, 2, and 3 right now at the top of the leaderboard. Break it down for us, Cynthia, you know, how, you know, talk in layman's terms, come down to our level for a second. What, you know, talk about your algorithm and how you picked these three guys to be at the top of the leaderboard.
Well, sometimes it's better to be lucky than right, but, you know, it's got to hold till tomorrow before we're absolutely right. But, look, all I did was, with the help of some of my Golf Digest friends, we went through and we talked through what were the key characteristics of that course. And one thing that stood out were the par fours, there's 12 of them. 8 of them fall between 400 and 450 yards. So the interesting thing on that is, if you look at the apex swing and par score performance, that was kind of a new way we could blend the metrics, and that was one of the things that popped. So basically it was try to take the comps of the course like we always do, but like go through it and look at it through a different lens. And like I said, get a little lucky. And it needs to be Sunday before we're really saying that.
So really, really unbelievable stuff there, woman. I'm so proud of you. So as of right now, Louis O at the top of the leaderboard at 12 under. He's 1 through 12 today. Jordan Spieth, 11 under. He's one shot back. He's 3 under through 13. And Colin Morikawa, not a great day. I mean, listen, I mean, he's even, but he's 9 under. So he's faded a little bit and he's through 12 today. All right. Again, you can see Cynthia Freeland all over the NFL Network. Cynthia, we are just a week plus away from NFL camps opening up. Are you ready? Like it's going to be here before we know it. Somebody pinch me. I can't wait. Right.
I mean, on the 31st, we're going to be at every single training camp at NFL Network. So I'm really excited to see how, like, we pull this off. Because, remember, we haven't really been traveling. NFL Network, we've been working from home a lot more than even ESPN or anywhere else. So it's going to be interesting. Like, okay, now everyone's on the road. Let's make it work. All at once. Big bang to start.
Really, really, really phenomenal. All right. So since we're here on the New York airwaves, let's start with the Jets first and foremost, because I know you pretty much have your finger in the pulse of that team better than most. You know, Zach Wilson, I really don't have hefty expectations for him this season. I think this is going to be a learning season for him. I think this is going to be a growing season for him. I don't think enough is talked about the fact that he's coming from BYU, subpar comp, coming in and needs to grow, learn, understand the system, and get more familiar with the pace of the NFL. His athleticism is off the charts, but there's so much growing and production and development that needs to happen. So I think the Jets are going to be lucky if they win 6 games this season. I'm not putting too much pressure on them to win more than that. What are your expectations for the Jets?
Well, first off, you're totally right about the BYU comp. First of all, he had a really, really good O-line that allowed him to stand behind it almost a full 7.7 seconds longer than almost any other quarterback I've tracked in 8 years, like something crazy. So he had a good line, and they had a lot of time behind that line. Remember, he was super proficient with play-action passing, which means he also had a run game that defenses bid on, right? So that play-action doesn't work if you can't trick them a little bit. So we'll see if all those things come together. Of course, we've seen that that's possible from his coaching staff back in their 49er days. But at the end of the day, you're right. The pace is going to be something where they should, and smartly, should fold him in kind of slowly to make the game come to him, because this is a long-term investment. Not a 1 year, you know, you need to win right this moment.
I'm with you. Again, we're on the same page here. And taking a bigger look at that division, the AFC East, I'll tell you, I love the Buffalo Bills, Cynthia. I've already put money on them to win the Super Bowl, you know, obviously win the division, win the conference. I think Josh Allen takes a step up. You know, I think you can argue that Stephon Diggs has catapulted himself to be arguably the best wide receiver in the NFL. Solid offensive line, depth at the running back position, top five. I think you can argue top five, top seven defense. I love their front office. I love their staff. I feel special teams. I just think they check all the boxes. Agree or disagree?
Completely agree. The one thing that could be like hampering them a little bit is that, you know, if the Patriots do manage to, like, sneak in one or two of those games, that could – remember, we only have one team that gets the bye for the playoffs. And with this expanded schedule, it's going to be a little bit odd for kind of all of the teams. So when I look at that, the only thing that could happen is kind of where is their placement, where do they fall within the conference, because they want to at least, you know, give themselves some good odds to – not have to be, they want to host the game, right? And not be any sort of wild card situation, which I do think they win the division. I absolutely do. But again, the bye could be out of reach.
In looking at the Patriots, so I have the Bills winning the division. I think the Patriots, I think they come in second. I do believe they make it to the postseason as a wild card. Here's the thing with Cam Newton, and you know how much I love Mac Jones, right? How confident are you that Cam Newton can stay healthy throughout the season? And give me a percentage that you think Mac Jones will finish the season as the starting quarterback for the New England Patriots.
Like 90% that he'll finish the season. I don't know when the transition will be made. As much as I want Cam to be healthy, I'd love to see Cam like come back in full like MVP form. I think he's one of the most fun players to watch, especially when he's like completely healthy. But I don't know if I think it's possible, just given what we've seen. And you also can't bank on 100% health from anyone, right? So, you know, when I look to see this, I'm thinking, okay, when is it Mac Jones' time? And they really did do a good job investing in the tight end situation to the point where they have like an extra O lineman, which means that could be more protection for Mac Jones and Cam Newton, of course, but for Mac Jones, especially as he transitions into, you know, he was a quick passer at Alabama. He threw a lot of those passes very, very quick. He had a great O line. He had great skill players, but the repetition and the fact that he was able to take that playbook and execute what was asked of him so well, he has a good opportunity to do that given the configuration of the Patriots team.
I know I'm jumping ship here in regard to the AFC East, but I'm not now hearing rumblings that, and I'm curious if you're hearing the same thing, because you're out there in LA, you're with the NFL Network, you hear a lot more than I do, in that the 49ers made the deal to trade up, and Mac Jones was their guy. This is what I'm hearing, so I'm asking you to confirm or deny that Mac Jones was their guy. That's who they traded up for. But in the interview process, apparently Mac Jones comes across as being somewhat of a jerk. You know, silver spoon, you know, entitled, and rubbed Kyle Shanahan the wrong way. Meanwhile, everything I hear about Trey Lance, he walks in a room and men fall to their knees. Men fall in love with him. There's a man crush that starts to get developed because he's just got this great personality. It's infectious. You gravitate to him, and that's what happened with Kyle Shanahan. Not to take anything away. Listen, Trey Lance, amazing athlete, huge arm, could develop into something extremely special. But that's what changed the tide with the 49ers. Did you hear the same thing or no, Cynthia?
I mean, I've heard those rumors, but I don't believe them because you don't make that big of a trade. John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan, Adam Peters, all the people that would be involved in doing that trade, those guys aren't going to make that trade if they haven't spoken to enough people to know if Mac Jones was kind of not their type of guy before selling the farm for him. So I just don't, it just doesn't logically make sense to me that that's what happened. I do think they had something else in mind, potentially exploring a trade, but I think that thing was more along the lines of like a feisty old quarterback that wears a lot of green and plays golf. You know, I think maybe that was what they had in mind, and then that didn't work out, and then they were like, well, our backup plan for that could be that we get the third best quarterback in this draft. So I don't think that I just don't believe. I know these people well enough. I've spoken to them. They're smart enough. They wouldn't, to me, I have a hard time believing they would do that.
Last but not least, the Miami Dolphins. You and I have had this discussion quite frequently, and I think it's evident now, even just after one season, that they drafted the wrong quarterback. They should have drafted Justin Herbert, and I think you know that. What's the phrase? Weep what you sow. Weep what you sow. Like I think yet again, Mama Mimi and Dolphin fans are going to be extremely disappointed. I don't think Tua finishes the season as a starting quarterback for the Miami Dolphins. I don't see it. Your thoughts on how that quarterback situation is going to play out and how well you think the Dolphins are going to do in the AFC East?
You know, I think the funny thing is whether or not they've got something special going on there with their coaching and front office, like synergy. I hate that word, but the way that they all work together, they really do have something. Like, I got a chance to be around them. I was down at the Bitcoin conference, so I like got a chance to hang out a little bit, and it was a while back. And I'm going to be honest with you, like, they got something special going on there, and I don't think they're afraid to cut their losses. So if Tua isn't their guy, I think they'd be like aggressive enough to not wait until the whole thing goes to hell in a handbasket, but rather just deal with it when it happens. They seem like they're very on the same page about how quickly they need to make action.
Interesting. All right, let's switch gears to the NFC East. And I think the Washington team is going to take this division by storm. I love their defense. I love their head coach. You know, I know that Ryan Fitzpatrick isn't bells and whistles, but what I do love about him is he plays smart football and he gives his playmakers around him an opportunity to make plays. I talked about this last night. I filled in last night. You know, there's quarterbacks in the NFL, as you know this, Cynthia. They won't throw the ball until their wide receiver is open. That's not Ryan Fitzpatrick. Ryan Fitzpatrick believes, trusts his wide receivers, and he will throw the ball to an area, and he's going to give his wide receivers a chance to make plays. And here's the thing. He's got a lot of speed on that roster. He's got a lot of talent on that offensive side of the ball. Terry McLaurin, I love Gibson this year, and I love the addition of Curtis Samuel. There is so much speed on this Washington offense. It's going to be ridiculous to watch. I'm excited to see it. Your thoughts on Washington?
Yeah, add Dyami Brown to that, too, the wide receiver they drafted out of North Carolina. Mm-hmm. This guy was, like, a huge speed threat, too. So I think you're totally right. I've been high on Washington for a long time for a couple of reasons. I just think the other teams in the division, I don't even know what's going on with the Eagles. Like, that just seems, like, very messy. And then because you hear weird rumors there. You think about the Giants, they did take some big steps forward. I just don't think they took a big enough step forward to really kind of to threaten for that top spot. And everyone's riding the Cowboys so high, but I don't know, their defense, they drafted 11 of their 14 draft picks were defensive players, young defenses, and in a season where, sure, we're having normal training camp now, but they didn't have a regular college season. So what's their rookie wall going to look like? How are they going to learn in a normal way? They didn't have all the kind of normal things in terms of learning. And by the way, we have an extra game. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out and how it all meshes together.
Let's go straight to the Giants. I think it's really going to come down to the Giants and the Cowboys battling it out to see who comes in second place in the NFC East and who potentially could get in as a wild card. Let's start with the Giants. I mean, this is a make or break year for Daniel Jones. There's so much talent and that Dave Gettleman and Joe Judge have now put around Daniel Jones. They need to decide if he is the quarterback for their future, but more importantly, based on what they added, not only on the offensive side of the ball, but Dorie Jackson on the defensive side of the ball, what they did in the draft. What are your expectations for the Giants this season?
I mean, I think you forgot the biggest part of that. Is Saquon healthy? Is he going to be out there and ready to go, like, full speed? Because Saquon, to me, is kind of the key to making Daniel Jones work, right? Like, you need that big monster and those quads out there just getting it done. I've been promised by everyone on the Giants that I'm close with that I'm going to love their O-line come training camp, come preseason even, and I hope that's true, but that's the other wild card for me, too. It's like, will this O-line finally pull it together?
And last but not least, the Dallas Cowboys. I don't think enough is being discussed in regard to Dak Prescott coming off of that horrific ankle injury, compounded with the fact that this is not a stellar offensive line, compounded by the fact that we haven't really seen Ezekiel Elliott run extremely well behind a subpar offensive line, compounded by the fact that their defense, specifically their secondary, isn't that tremendous. So I know there's a lot of people who are anticipating Dallas to win this division. I just don't see it, Cynthia.
I'm with you. I told you my concerns about that defense and a young defense, and I know I love Dan Quinn. That's to take nothing away from him. He's one of my favorite coaches in the league, and he does simplify it for his players. But you've got to have the good players. It's like a lot easier to win when you have the good players. And I agree with you. The O-line doesn't have those good players. And some of the defensive pieces just don't make sense together until we see them all kind of come together, and they need to learn. So I just don't think they'll be able to get it together in time. I do actually think that, you know, you're right. It's going to come down to Giants or Cowboys for who's in that number two spot.
She is Cynthia Freeland here on 98.7 ESPN, not only just like sharing unbelievable knowledge with us when it comes to football, but she is crushing it in golf this week. Her three top picks are first, second, and third at the top leaderboard in the Open. Girl, you and I need to talk every Tuesday night. If your analytics is spewing these type of winners when it comes to golf, I'm so proud of you. Congratulations, my friend.
Thanks. Well, if that's all I needed to get you to talk to me every week, I would have done it before.
Enjoy the rest of your weekend and look forward to having you on more frequently as we get closer to football season. Take care of yourself.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.